Come home. So excited to be back in the house, man. Come on, we love it. We're excited to be here this morning. Thank you for coming out. And for those who are online, I love you, man. Come on. For those who are online, we honor you. We're excited you're tuning in and watching us this morning. This is my bride, Renee. My name is Sean. Woo, you look so cute. I love the hat. I love the hat.
Keep there.
Come on. You look good in yellow. We picked Steeler colors. I didn't know if you realized that or not.
I knew that would come
out. We're turning you all into Pittsburgh Steeler fans. Super Bowl. Ben and the Bowl. That's the year. Ben and the Bowl, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. What do you got for me? Come on.
All right.
I wanted Renee to come up today as we're just here.
Yeah.
As God has allowed us to really start BC 10 years ago, over 10 years ago now. And this is a fresh day, man. It's a fresh day. First day back after 12 weeks of being a Sunday morning. Last week was amazing. Worship and Word on the Rock. We had a blast filming that, and that was incredible. And then Seek last week was, wow. It was blowout, man. It was huge. It was so good. And that was just so powerful. But it's good to be back. And it's good that we do have a little bit of space. And you can spread out if you want to. And just, we're excited about what's coming in our region and for Believer's Chapel. And I just wanted Renee to just share a little bit today as we are back at this thing together today, welcoming the great people of
Welcome
Believer's
home,
Chapel.
Believer's Chapel. Amen. So good to see all of your faces here. And, you know, I had this thought come to me in worship, like, you know, that happens. And I was, you know, we're singing the song, and it says, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. And, you know, that his face is towards you. And I was thinking, you know, if the Lord was here right now, I mean, Lord, would you be wearing a mask? And I was like, no. Like, your face is towards us. And Jesus healed the sick. He healed the lepers. He didn't put on his mask before he went. And so, therefore, God says that I will make you my witnesses, and you will go, and you will make disciples of every nation. And so when I was thinking upon this, I was thinking, you know, we are his witnesses, and he's protecting us. So therefore, we are in witness protection. And so, amen. Like, we don't have to fear. Like, what Sean just read from Isaiah, that's amazing that he's going to protect us. And his face is towards us. Amen. And amen, we are his witnesses, and we need to go and make disciples. And not be afraid. Not be afraid that, you know, that just like we say, we're protected from plague and disease. So then how do we do that? And so I want to look to Ephesians 6, and we're going to put on the full armor of God. Amen. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Amen. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him and in his power, in his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending with only physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly and supernatural places. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day. And having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. So stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened the band of truth around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability. Above all, lift up the protective shield of faith. That's what's going to protect us, guys. Okay? Your shield of faith. Let's lift up and just be full people full of faith. Amen? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit. And with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition for all of God's people. Amen? And so God is building his army. There is a great harvest, and we are his witnesses. We need to not be afraid. We need to be full of faith and put on all of this armor of God, and we have to be prepared. This isn't the time to say, oh, things are lifting and things are easy, and then, you know, get all cushy and be like, okay, you know, everything's fine. Like, no, we have to hold firm and stand firm and with our faith, and we have to believe that God is going to protect us. And we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, baby. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Awesome. Hey, I just want to bring up a family in our church. And praise the Lord, we're going to just spend a couple seconds on this. Our man Todd, who is one of our bass players, Todd has been volunteering in this church, and his family have been a part of this church for about 8 years. And guess what? We're just a little over 10 years old, right? Maybe 11, close to that. But Todd Erickson and his family have been a part of Believer's Chapel for many years. And he has served with excellence. He has served with a diligence. And he is one of our bass players here at Believer's Chapel. He's the big husky dude, tattoos, looks really cool. He's an officer out of Bradford. And he was in a motorcycle accident this week and down in North Carolina. He was visiting with his twin brother, Tim, for their 50th birthday, and they were just spending some time together, and then he came up to meet some other friends, and in a rainstorm, unfortunately, a car turned in the wrong direction and ran into him and his motorcycle, and it put him in a Mercy Flight helicopter that took him to one hospital that transported him to another hospital. And as of today, I've been in touch with Christy. Christy's his wife. And you've got Nick and Nadine are his kids. And right now, as it sits, you've got Todd, who has got three different areas that his brain is bleeding. You've got broken ribs, displaced ribs, some other minor complications compared to what has taken place within his brain and the swelling and the bleeding. And they've had him sedated, where he's been kind of just asleep due to that, but they've took him off of that as of yesterday. And this is what we're praying. We're praying that he awake on his own. It's time for his eyes to open. It's time for our man Todd to awaken, and it's time for him to come off of this thing. And Christy said yesterday, it's critical, but he's in this place of being stable. It's still considered critical. And how tough is that, where because of this COVID thing, she's not even allowed to go in and see him? I'm hoping that opens tomorrow. It's supposed to open tomorrow, that one person can go in the room and be with him. And listen, whether you're asleep or not, there is a wonderful presence that can take place when you who are one with enters into a room. And I believe that we're going to see Todd awake, and we're going to see him with eye movement. We're going to see him with hand movement, and we're going to see him come to a place to be well. And we're asking for doctors. And Christy's a nurse, and she knows healthcare. And she's very pleased with the facility that he's in under some great care. But it's time for the church to come to a place to pray and know God is a part, or Todd is a part of this family. He served with such excellence. And he's we love Todd. We love him. And he is my brother in Christ. He is my brother in uniform. His family is a part of Believer's Chapel for more than most people in this church. They've been here for 8 years. And he served the better part of all of that. And it's just, we're here to pray, and we're here to ask God, God, please move. And God, do a work that today, just maybe today, he could wake up. And maybe today, there's a way that these doctors can get in there and do what they need to do. And praise the Lord. I just want to say thank you to this church on behalf of Todd and his family. Because of your giving, man, and such a stressful scenario, and because they are such volunteers of so much time, man, we were able to. They needed a place to stay. There was nothing open for them through the hospital. They needed a place to stay for a week. And because of Believer's Chapel, we were able to pay for their week's stay in a place that's close to the hospital, so that starting tomorrow, they can really start making visits one at a time. So I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of the family. And this is who we are, man. This is what we do for our family. And this is what we do for those who've been so diligent to serve on our Believer's Chapel team. So come on, would you pray with me, please? I'm going to pray, and I just want you to agree. just maybe that God would move in such a way that yes, he would be healed. But I would love to see God move today where he wakes up. Or he's off of the sedation, he's off of that medicine that kept him asleep, and now they're saying it's time that he wakes up on his own. It's time that he come out of this thing so that they can begin to work on him in such a way. Come on, if you would you just extend your hands, if you're comfortable, just towards the Lord, and let we just come to a place to just agree. Father, we come before you as a congregation, as a family, to pray for one of our own who's just, the family's just broken and they're hurting and they're concerned. And Father, we pray for Todd, man. He's our man and we love him and we thank you for him. But Father, I ask that today would be a day, right in this day, as he's off all the medicine, God, he comes to a place, the sedative medicine, God, that he would come to a place to wake up on his own. He come to a place that there's eye movement, come to a place that there's brain activity, come to a place that there's hand movement, God, that we just cover this family in the blood of Christ. We cover this family over the name of Jesus and ask that in your timing, God, let it be today. Father, let your will be done today. Let your will be done, God. And we're just asking, we're crying out to you, God, the healer. God, we're crying out to you that you can do all things and that today we would see movement, that today he'd awake on his own today. And Father, we ask for healing. We pray for the doctors in the facility to have great wisdom and great care as they tend to Todd and everything that's going on physically in his body. And we pray for, we cover Christy. We pray for Nick. We pray for Nadine, God, that you would bless this family. And we just ask that you would move on them, God, that they would have a supernatural peace. Through all of this, God, they are relying and banking and trusting in you, in their faith, God, that they're leaning into you in this season and trusting you that you will move again in Jesus' name. Come on, church, right? Yeah. Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. And continue to pray for them, please. They're part of our house, man. We love them. Come on, if you turn to me, please. John 4. I got a cruise. We are now going to, like, even starting next week, we're going to get back into just a pattern of what we normally do. We are going to, besides the baskets and all that, they'll still be in their locations just so you can be prepared for that. But we're going to come back into a place to really be able to just worship and word, man, worship and word. And we're going to come to a place to get back into our regular scheduled program. As we're just going to come out and we're going to have our time of worship. We're going to have our time of offering and like we did today. But there's going to be a focused time of preaching. And I believe the word of God is alive and powerful. And man, if you're watching online and you're new, we're juiced that you're with us. If you're here and you're new, we're juiced that you're with us, man. We're just a simple church, man, a simple church that believes God Almighty deserves to be worshiped and his word is alive and powerful, man. We're a worship and word church. God Almighty created the heavens and the earth, the one that would send his only begotten son, put himself on a cross for you and I so that we would have eternal life through Jesus and that he deserves to be worshiped and his word, man, we should be meditating, studying and preparing in his word for day-to-day life, man, day-to-day living in him. And I'm just excited to get back to a regular scheduled program even next week as we're going to honor fathers and we're excited about a message to dads and we're going to speak to dads and I'm excited about that for next week. Come on, if you would look at me, John 4, please. John 4. This is an amazing story. And of course, we're in this really crazy season. Would you agree that it's a crazy season? You've got this COVID thing coming and going. And then you've got, in America, you've got this racial tension that has happened. And again, if you are just watching the news, you're getting part of a story. Church, please be careful. Church, please be careful. Please get facts. Please listen to truth. Right, and we're going to come to a place and we're going to see what happens even in crazy seasons like this. How can God move in such an amazing, powerful way? We can sit home and get full of fear. We can get home and get filled with concern and worry. We can get home and there's going to be a message coming within the next few weeks that I'm going to be addressing all of this because I think the church, man, we are a peace staple, man. We are a pillar of peace. The church needs to have some answers, some truth, and some facts. And we're going to be dealing with this in a few weeks from now. We're going to have a message that just really brings some things together through the racial tension and through different things. But I wanted to preach because I wanted to wet our whistle just a little bit about how God can move. And we see this amazing example in Scripture with Jesus and a Samaritan woman. We see this amazing example in the Word of God of Jesus and a Samaritan woman at a well. Well, you've got Jesus, who's a Jew. You've got a Samaritan woman. Samaritans are considered half-breeds. They're considered Jews who were with Gentiles, and they had babies, and these are their Samaritans. These are the half-breeds. And they, listen, biblically speaking, in Jesus' time, Samaritans were the lowest of the low. Jews looked at Samaritans as these, you're under my feet. Jews looked at Samaritans as, I can't eat with you. I shouldn't even be at a table with you. You are a disgusting group of people. That's the Jewish view of the Samaritans. And here you've got Jesus, who breaks all the rules, right? Listen, Jesus breaks the rules. He breaks the rules of the order of, I'm a Jew and you're a Samaritan, so you're way down here. I'm not supposed to talk to you, specifically being a Samaritan woman, not just Samaritan dude, but a Samaritan woman, where Jews were not even supposed to talk to Samaritan women ever, let alone she's a Samaritan. So here you've got a double whammy going on, and here you've got Jesus said, listen, it's time to deal with this. And you're going to see, watch this, you're going to see a result. And I believe this, man, I believe we're going to see an amazing a result to what is taking place through all of the crazy, all of the COVID and all of this racial tension. We're going to see this, man. We're going to see a harvest come to Christ. I think like no time before. I think in our generation, because it's absolutely chaos right now. I think we're going to see the church. And listen, please hear it, man. It is our responsibility to stand up and talk Jesus. It's our responsibility to say, listen, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. The Word of God is the answer. Man, so many people are looking for answers in so many different places. Guess what? Come on. There's two teams. There's God Almighty on light, and there's Satan, who is the greatest liar of all. Right, the greatest liar of all in his darkness. And there's only two teams. And you and I, who are followers of Christ, man, we are to walk in a place to say it's time now for us to be a church and to be a people that will expect and look for and testify about Jesus and a harvest like we have never seen before. Come on, I want you to see this, though. I want you to put this into context. Here, look at this. John 4. I want you to see this. Here it is. I'm going to pick it up in verse 6. Here you've got Jesus. He's on his way to Galilee, and there's a way that goes that the Jews would take to go to Galilee. They would take away a longer route just so they wouldn't have to go through Samaria. Now listen, man. I drive like a dude. I'm a man. I drive like a man, and I am from point A to point B, right? I don't do skip B to go to C. If there's a faster route for 30 seconds, Sean, we're driving for 3 hours, and there you pick the fastest route that's 30 seconds faster. That 30 seconds is life, man. That's important. Like, that's A to B. Like, let's go, right? So the fastest route from where Jesus was to Galilee is to go through Samaria. But there was such hatred for the Samaritans, the Jews would take an alternate route that would take them a lot longer. And Jesus is like, no, we're going through Samaria. And his boys, his men are like, what are we doing? We're not supposed to go through. So like, those aren't our people. He's like, no, we have to. We got to go. Now watch this. I'm going to pick it up in verse 6. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, that just shows 100% man, yet being 100% God, wearied from his journey, was sitting by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That means it was noon. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The disciples went to Subway. Jesus went to the well, right? So they're hungry. They're like, I'm going to Subway to get me a tuna sub. I'm a fan of a tuna sub from Subway. Other sub places, it's steak and cheese, man. Here we go. But they went to get their tuna sub from Subway. And here Jesus went to the well. And I love this. Verse 7. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away in the city to buy food. Therefore, look at her shock and awe. Verse 9. Therefore, the Samaritan woman had said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So here Jesus is at the well. The woman comes. And Jesus is just sitting on the well. He's tired. She comes to the well, and he's like, can you get me a drink? And the woman is like, excuse me? Can you draw water for me? What? Why are you talking to me? The Bible says she was in awe. She wondered why. She even so much so questioned, hey, I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Like, that never happens. That shouldn't happen. You're not supposed to ask me for a drink. You don't like me. I'm a woman from Samaria, which I'm a Samaritan woman, which means you don't like me. You shouldn't even be talking. According to the rules, you shouldn't even be talking to me. Why are you talking to me? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. You have no dealings with me. Like she is in awe over this, right? Watch this. And then Jesus said, verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And she says to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Like I love reading Jesus' statements. Could you imagine honestly trying to have a conversation with Jesus? He's like, hey, could you draw me water? Why are you talking to me? Listen, if you knew who it was talking to you, you'd ask for living water. Like that's like, she's probably going, water that's alive. If you come over to my house and I'm pouring you a water from the faucet and you say, Sean, is that water alive? I'd be like, you got to get out of my house, man. I don't know what you're smoking, but you got to go. No, my water's not alive. It's water. What's wrong with you? Like, could you imagine having a conversation with Jesus where he's like, you could have living water? And she's just clueless to what he's talking about. She's like, okay, so you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. So where do you get living water? Like, what are you talking about? You don't even have a bucket and you're talking about living water. Like, the conversation with Jesus is amazing. My man, Jesus knows exactly every single word he's saying. He knows how to bring it around, man. Here he goes, verse 12. You are, and this is the woman speaking, you are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Well, yes. I mean, Jesus could just interrupt her and say, actually, I'm God in the flesh, and I am. But he didn't do that. So you are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank it from himself, his sons, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. He's pointing to the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of springing up to eternal life. And again, Jesus is like, listen, if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But I have a secret source of water that if you drink from it, you'll never thirst again. And she's like, woo! She's like, I'm all in on that water. Like, what do you got? And verse 15, the woman says to him, sir, give me this water so I will never thirst again, nor come to the well to draw. Like, she still just didn't get it. She's like, oh, if I have that water, I never have to thirst again. Now, how many know if you have Christ in your life and you're a follower of Jesus, you better be drinking water, right? It's not just like, that's not what he was saying. If you come to me, you never have to have water again. Like, if you don't drink water, you're not going to make it, right? Listen, I still have to drink more water. When I don't drink enough water, I get serious cramps. Like, they're awful, right? I'm telling you, the other night, true story, I haven't had them in a while, but I will get cramps at night that I am out of bed, and whether it is in my calf that just rocks, I mean, it goes to rock hard. True story. Why? Because I know, watch this, hear it though. It's not Jesus. She's like, okay, give me some of that water so I never have to thirst again from this well. I never have to. She's like, that's not what I'm talking about. I got a cramp the other night, two nights ago. I popped out of bed. My ankle, it was crazy. I thought my ankle was going to break. Like, it cramped so hard, it twisted. True story. I'm like, oh, if I dislocate my ankle, I'm going to be really mad. Like, this is not going to go well. And it's 3 a.m., right? And I'm just like, oh. The reality is this, BC, when you come to a place to realize this woman is like, she's still in this place to say, what are you talking about? Like, if I get that water, I never have to drink this water again. And then I love it. Here we go. Here's where Jesus. And then he said to her, verse 16, go tell your husband and come here. And the woman's answered, I love where she's confused about the water. And he goes, this is his point, man. He's drawn her in. He's drawn her in. A woman that he shouldn't even be in contact with. According to the rules, he shouldn't even be having a conversation with this woman. And here, watch this. Here you see Jesus. He starts a conversation. And then he begins to reel her in. It's just, go tell your husbands to come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband, for you have had five. And the one whom you have now is not your husband. And thus you have truly said. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Look how Jesus comes around to the point. Watch this. Our fathers worship in this mountain. And you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, see, she's like, we worship here, but you say it has, your people, the Jews say it has to be in Jerusalem. And then Jesus drops this amazing bomb on all of us. Says Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. For you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. And he said, listen, it's no longer about a place. This is Jesus' answer to her. It's no longer about a place, but it's about a person. He's like, you're so accustomed to coming to a place to worship. In Jerusalem, you're accustomed to going to the temple or to go to the synagogue to worship. Here, you're accustomed to coming to this mountain to worship. And Jesus is like, listen, there is a day that is now is, that is coming. Watch this. Then it's no longer about a place, but it's about a person. Now watch this. I love it. She begins to make this turn, right? Jesus is working on her heart, begins to make this turn. And he says this, but an hour is coming and now is when true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Spirit is your inner person, man. It is your spirit connecting with his spirit. Truth is with authenticity and with being sincere and authentic and genuine. This is what he says. This is how you come from your inner spirit. From the inside out is true worship. Spirit and truth, for such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. She's like, listen, young lady, listen, man, they've got so far off the water issue. He's taken her so far now from drawing water from the well. The whole time he's been speaking about him. And he draws her in and say, listen, worship is no longer about a place, but it's about a person. And the Father seeks, I love that, he pursues. The word seeks means God Almighty, the Father pursues. He chases after those who worship him in spirit from the inside out and in a genuine, authentic way. And now he's reeling her right in. Watch this. Here it is. Verse 25, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When the one comes, he will declare all things to us. There's a shift that just took place. The whole living water thing, you hooked me. I'm seeing that you're a prophet. You've never met me before. You've never had a word with me before, but yet you know my whole history. And then she says this is what I know. That the Messiah is going to come, the one who would tell us all things. This one just told her all things. Do you see the connection? She's connecting the dots, man. There's this shift that's taking place in this Samaritan woman. Watch this. This is amazing. In verse 26, Jesus said to her, I am he who speaks to you. I'm that one. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one. And Jesus reveals himself to her. I'm the Messiah. And then we see this. This is amazing. Watch. This even puts the nail in even a little deeper. When the disciples come back, they come back with their subway. And at this point, the disciples came and they were amazed. They were amazed. They were, the word amazed, it means that they were in awe. They marveled. They were shocked. They were in awe over what? That he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Why do you speak with her? Could you imagine the disciples walking up? They've got their bags, the subway, and they're coming in and they're like, What is he doing? Hey, John, what is, look at what Jesus, he's talking to that woman, man. She's a Samaritan woman. What man, I can't believe it. What is he doing? Bible says they were amazed. They marveled. They were in awe. Of what? That, how dare he talk to this Samaritan? There was such racial tension. What is wrong with him? Hey, John, you know, in your writings, you say that you are the disciple that Jesus loved. You self-bragged about him loving you the most. Obviously, they didn't know that yet because it was written about 80 years later. So they're like, hey, you go talk to him. I don't know why he's talking to her. Hey, Peter, you've got the big mouth. Remember Jesus called you Satan and all that? Like, you are already on bad terms. So why don't you go ask him what he's thinking by talking to that woman? I'm not saying nothing. See, they looked and they saw where Jesus was breaking the rules of the day. And they were in awe. But I want to get to the whole point here. Verse 28, so the woman left her water pot. It's amazing. She came there for just, oh my goodness. Isn't it amazing that she had no idea. Please hear this. She had no idea what was about to take place. Some would say that she was a social outcast because she's been divorced 5 times, living with a man. Who knows what the town would talk about her? Usually when the women would usually go to the well and get water for the day, they'd usually go in the morning. And usually it was a social time for ladies, but here she is all by herself in the heat of the day, which wasn't normal. And some scholars would believe that that's just because she was an outcast. And here she's just taking a water pot to the well like she does on a normal day. And then all of a sudden, she meets this man at the well. And she was no longer interested in the water in the well. Come on, I want you to see this, because Jesus starts talking about living water, and she's like, oh great, I can have water and I never have to drink this water again because I'll never be thirsty. And Jesus is like, let me bring it around. That she has this conversation with Jesus. And she leaves her water pot. I came here for one thing. Isn't it amazing that Jesus says, well, listen, in your spirit, you will not thirst for regular water, but you will thirst for that which is living. And she leaves her water pot behind. Now watch this. And she went into the city and said to the men, come. I love the invitation. Come, see a man. Remember, she's equating the Messiah with the one. Watch this. You got to see it. Look at our procession here. You got to see where she equated the one who's going to come. The Messiah is coming, and he's going to tell us everything that we have done. He's going to prophesy. And there's this one, and now she's putting the dots together. Look what she says. Watch this. Verse 29. Come. She said, the whole city, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. Here it is. Here's the point. This is not the Christ, is it? Hey, remember in the readings, listen, the Samaritans, they still read the five books of the Old Testament. They still understood, man. They still read the Old Testament. That they understood what was going to take place, that there will be a Messiah that's going to come, and he's going to tell us everything. Hey, listen, I went to the well just on a regular day to get my regular water, and I met this man. There's a man there, and he told me everything that I did. Could he be the Christ? Could he be the one? He said he was the one. He's followed through. I've never seen him before in my life. I've never talked to him. I've never had a conversation with him, and he told me everything. Could it be him? Now watch the disciples. Verse 30, watch this. They went out of the city and were coming to him. So you've got Jesus at the well. Woman comes. Amazing, incredible conversation. Listen, you think Jesus was at that well by mistake? You think it was just a coincidence? No, when you read John 4, he says, we have to go to Samaria. We have to. Yeah, but why? We have to. Fine, we're going to Subway. You go. Perfect. And amazing that Jesus is at the well and he's just waiting. He's just waiting. And all of a sudden this woman comes. You see what happens when you know Jesus. He will wait for you to come. He will wait for you to come. And she comes and he has this amazing Messiah conversation with this woman. And then she goes back and she tells everybody. And here Jesus at the well. The boys come and then Jesus is like, listen, guys, here it is. And they're all in amazement. You think Jesus didn't know that they were in shock and awe that Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman? I love it. Here Jesus is. Here it is. Here it is. He's reeling them in again. He's reeling in. She's gone. She goes to the city and the Bible says that the whole city comes out to meet with Jesus. Watch this. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And the disciples were saying to one another, hey, who brought him Subway? Like, how does he already have food? Like, again, they're clueless. Jesus' conversation, and they're just like, what happened, you know? And Jesus said, and the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? Like, which one of you snuck the Subway in? Who ran ahead of us to give him the pizza? Like, what is happening? And then Jesus, I love it. You got to read it and see scripture where Jesus says things to draw people in. And Jesus is reeling his disciples. Meanwhile, I love the word meanwhile. Isn't it? Come on, man, there's so much to speak here. Isn't it amazing that when one thing is going on here, meanwhile, Jesus is moving over here. There's one thing going on over here. The woman left the well. She went back to the city, told everybody about this man. And now all of a sudden, all the whole city is starting to come to where Jesus is. And then all of a sudden, meanwhile, Jesus is having this conversation with the disciples. Come on, gang, isn't it amazing that we come to a place in the very season that we are in, that there's a meanwhile, yes, the virus struck. Okay, beyond that. Okay, yes, there's racial tension. Yes, we are going to work through this. And as a church, we are going to be a light. Meanwhile, in all that's taking place, come on, can we be in a season of meanwhile? Can we be in a place to say, God, meanwhile, Jesus is having his conversation. Jesus is preparing his disciples. When all this is taking place over here, simultaneously at the same time, meanwhile, Jesus is preparing his disciples for something. And this is what I believe. I believe the church. And I hope it's global. I certainly hope it's the church in America. But I tell you what, as your pastor, it will be. It will be this church of Believers Chapel that meanwhile, in all of the chaos, in all of the hurt, in all of the confusion, and all of the brokenness, there is still yet a man who's waiting. And meanwhile, maybe he's just preparing his church for the masses to come. Because meanwhile, when the woman, she didn't even know her name, right? The woman went to Samaria, told the story about the one. She testified about Jesus. And all of a sudden, the whole city comes. And in the middle of that whole thing taking place, at the same time, I want to get into this conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. Here, they're talking about food. Who brought them Subway? Jesus is like, listen, you guys are missing it. And I love this. Stay focused, man. Stay focused. This is not in the Stay Focused series, but I love verse 34. And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. Do you not say yet there? Watch this. Verse 35 is clutch, man. This is it. Meanwhile, they're over there. She testifies about Jesus. There's this man who told me everything. It picks up the city. The whole city starts coming out where Jesus is. At the same time, he's having this conversation with his disciples. Verse 35, do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I love where Jesus, now he starts digging in. Hey, behold, there's this wake-up call. Behold, it's like an announcement. Like trumpets go forward. Hey, behold. And he says this, lift your eyes up. Hey, disciples, I need you to look. I need you to lift your eyes up. Watch what he says. I love this. Lift up your eyes and look to the fields that they are white for harvest. Hey, pay attention, man. I believe this, BC. I think there's a meanwhile taking place at the Church of Jesus Christ. I hope global, and I hope America. But I'm telling you for sure, it will be Believers Chapel in this region that we are going to see that there is a if we lift up our eyes and we are in prep mode and we are ready, there will be a harvest on the horizon. Jesus is like, listen, men, I don't need Subway. I need to do the will of my Father. And I need you to look, look, the whole city's coming. I love it. Come on, lift up your eyes and look on the field that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the one who sows and the one who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, saying is true. The one who sows and another reaps. And I sent you to reap for which you do not labor, and others labor which you have entered into their labor. Watch this, watch this, watch this. For the city of many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word, the woman who testified and told all the things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them for two more days. I love it when I just see this picture where the woman goes and she testifies about Jesus, and then his disciples are in this question mode of what is happening? What are you doing? And Jesus said, listen, stop, 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 stop. Behold, guys, I want you to lift your eyes up. Stop looking at your Subway. Come on, stop looking at your stuff. Stop looking at things that you think you need. Stop looking at your material. Listen, put down the Subway. I just need to do the will of my Father. Jesus wasn't saying, listen, he's a point maker. Jesus is a point. He wasn't saying I never have to eat again. Of course he had to eat. He was tired and weary because he was sitting by the well. So we know that he's 100% man. Of course he had to eat. He's making a point. Listen, I am going to do in all of this chaos, in all of this confusion, in all of this hurt, in all of this hate, in all of this brokenness. You know what I need to do? I need to do the will of my Father. And he's saying, disciples, I need you to see something. Lift your eyes up. Put down your Subway. I want you to look down the hill. See what's taking place. Man, you've got the whole city coming up. And it is ripe unto harvest. And this is Jesus saying, listen, I believe this church, that there is a harvest on the horizon. That we come to a place that every single one of us who have Christ within us, we come to a place to be that Samaritan woman, to go into the world and tell the world about a man named Jesus, who took our sins and took our bondage, and that we would walk in a place to be free. And we will see a harvest. See, I love it when I hear people say, man, I invited someone to church. Man, I love my church and I love what's happening at Believers Chapel. And I'm so excited to invite people. And I've got families coming with children. They're gonna be blown away what's going on in our children. They've never seen. And listen, I love that because I want people in church. We're called to gather and we're called to build encouragement in one another. That is a command. We're supposed to do that. We're going to do that. But I love it more when you don't just brag on BC, but you brag on your Jesus. And you brag on Jesus Christ. I know a man. It's not I know a church. I know a man in Jesus Christ who can bring peace when there's chaos. He can bring joy when there's sorrow. He can set you free when there's bondage, and he will give you eternal life, for he is the living water and he is the bread of life. And if you would just come to him as he did for me, he will do for you, and you can be set free in your spirit, and you can have eternal life forevermore. If we would just come to a place to start bragging on Jesus and having a testimony about who he is and what he's done for you. I met a man, and I know him now to be the Messiah. Come on, if you would just bow your heads with me, please. Church, we need to prepare for the harvest. We're going to sing a song, and we need to come to this place again. I say, Lord, let me be your testimony. Let me brag about you. Let me be like the Samaritan woman who went back to everyone she knew, the whole city. I said, I met a man. And I think he's the Messiah. He did what only the Messiah could do. He told me everything about me. And then a whole city was one. Because of one woman's testimony. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Could you imagine what your testimony and the power of your word and your bragging and your boasting and what Jesus Christ has done for you? Father, we're amazed by you. We love you. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for freedom. We thank you that we have no bondage. We thank you for no shame and no guilt. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And we thank you for the cross. We love you. Let us be like that woman. In the midst of all the crazy that's going on, Father, you have a meanwhile taking place right now. You have a meanwhile. You have a meanwhile that you're preparing the church. You're preparing Believer's Chapel. That the fields are truly white under harvest. And our harvest here in our region, God, I want people to come to you. Our harvest is on the horizon. We are going to see so many lives changed. Husbands, wives, families, college students, young adults, singles, changed. From baby to the fourth quarter, God, for those who are in overtime, changed lives. Because the harvest is on the horizon, Lord, I believe it. And in this meanwhile, God, teach us to be fishers of men. Teach us to really walk in a place to have a testimony about you. Man, if there's anyone in this place or online and you don't know Christ, man, I want you to come to a place to make it so simple, man. You just come to a place to realize it's not a system. It's certainly not Believer's Chapel. It's absolutely not religion. It's no way about rules and regulation. It is about a person and not a system. It is about a person and not a religion. It is about a person and not a building. It is about a person and not a baptism. It is about a person and not a class. It is about a person and the relationship with that person, because he loved you desperately that he put himself on a cross for you. And if you don't know Christ, and if you've bought into a lie of a system, I beg you today to come to a place to say, Lord, forgive me. I admit my sin, that I can't make it in any other way because of my sin. I deserve death. But Jesus, I believe in you. I admit my sin. I believe that Jesus, you're it. You're the only way. You are the only answer. Jesus, you died for me. And I confess right now in my place, wherever I'm at, I confess that you are Lord. I admit my sin. I believe in Jesus alone. And I confess that you are Master and that you are Lord. And I confess you as King of my life. And I'm asking that you would forgive me. And I'm calling on the name of Jesus for salvation. Jesus, save me. Now, if you would just say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Forgive me. I confess that you are Lord. As Jesus waits for us. I love it where Jesus knows how to meet us exactly right where we're at. I never want to be the same again after coming to Jesus. I never want to be the same again. I want to leave my water pot and run on to living water. Jesus, please. In Jesus' name.